So we've been talking about the subject of prayer. Last week we began the 4-week journey. This is week 2 of our talk about prayer. But just to stir us up, amen, we are called to be people of prayer. And things happen when we pray. Things happen when we pray. So we talked about a little bit how many times that last week we talked about how we said a lot of things last week. We said that worry, that prayer is not worrying to God. Prayer is not worrying to God. Prayer is also not something that we just think about doing. We just kind of say, hey, that's a great idea. Yeah, prayer, I'm with you. And not praying. When we talked about the fact that when we don't pray, it's really we are just taking those ideas and we're taking those, we're mental ascending to those concepts of prayer. But actually what we're doing is we don't believe God. Prayer is really faithlessness in action. When we don't pray, it's really faithlessness. But and the idea is that we think we can do it on our own. We think we can fix these problems and do these things on our own. And guys, look, we can't. God says, and we said this last week, we are not deists. We are not deists. We don't believe that God is just kind of up there and waiting for us to kind of figure stuff out. No, God actively gets involved with us in our lives when we invite him in. And we do that through prayer. And so we believe, and we also said this, when we don't pray, many times it's because we have what we call an orphan spirit. We don't understand that we have a father. You have a father in heaven that cares about you. You are not, Jesus actually says that when he leaves. He goes, I will not leave you alone, right? He says, you have a father. Your father cares about every one of your needs. We sang about it just a little bit ago. And so, and we talked about this. We made this definition. We said this definition. Well, I didn't make it. I think it was Google who had this definition. He said this, we talked about prayer and petition. What is a petition? A petition is to present a formal request to an authority with respect to a particular cause. That is really prayer, a petition prayer in definition. That you are making a request to a authority for a specific thing. Not just a general thing. We don't do shotgun prayers, amen? Yeah. We do rifle prayers. All right, so let's go a little bit further with this prayer series, and we're going to start in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, let's go there. Starting in verse 13, he says, is anyone any among you suffering? He should worry. Oh, wait a minute. Nope. If anyone among you is suffering, they should call a worry party and a gossip party. He says, if anyone among you is suffering, he should pray. Anyone is cheerful, he should sing praises. Anyone among you sick, he should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Amen. Amen. Do you hear that? You're forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one another and pray for one another. Man, there's so much. I don't want to preach on every word. I got to be careful. So that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful in its effect. Elijah was a human being just as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. And he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced fruit. James starts off this whole section with this idea of your suffering. If you're dealing, what is suffering? If you're in pain, distress, hardships, any of those kind of ideas, the first thing you should do, pray. That should be our mindset as believers, that we immediately go to prayer. 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 That's our answer, church. Amen. Is to pray. So he right off the get, man, he gets right into it. And say, if you're suffering, pray. Right? And then we say, so we got to be careful when we read scripture because you're like, oh, yep. Pastor, I believe it just that way. I hear it. Yep. You sure should. You know, when you're going through that thing, when Rachel, Nick, they're going through a deal. Yep. Y'all should pray. You know, the word should. If anyone is suffering, they should pray. That, you know, that word, I'm a words person. I like words. Words are important. Definitions are important. In these days, definitions are important. What do you mean by what you're saying? So he says, everyone, if you're suffering, you should pray. This word indicates this idea of should, meaning to do, is to indicate what is profitable. When we should do something, when you tell your kid that they should do whatever, right? You're like, it's profitable if you do this, right? Like if you tell them you should go cut the grass because there's consequences when you don't, right? You should. It would be profitable for you if you do this. The Bible says that we should pray, that prayer is profitable for us. It's not a religious exercise, right? It's profitable for us. He said, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Call for somebody to lay hands and pray over you. I mean, take your medicine, but if that's your answer, let me bring some correct, like your first goal, your first thing is God is your healer. Take, yes, 100%. Do your thing. But remember, prayer should be the first thing. I know like there's times where stuff's going on or man, I got a pain or something and I go to the cabinet and I get out that Tylenol and I pop it. Man, there's so many times the Holy Spirit goes, so is that your answer? First? Okay. Like prayer. Prayer is your first. He is my. And then, man, pop your Tylenol, whatever. But it's a mindset that God is your helper. God is not afar off. We're not deists. God is not a far off God. He's a near God wanting to help. And the way we do that is the prayer. And not only just any kind of prayer. He says the prayer of faith. He said the prayer of faith. Just really quickly. I noticed that during this season, I was like, I didn't really, when we qualify this idea of prayer, faith begins, that Rex is going to love this. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So what do? We go to the Word, right? How do you know that when you just ask, right? You just kind of ask out there. No. There's promises. Scripture says all the promises of God are yes and amen. That means when you ask those things of God, according to His will, the answer is yes and amen. The answer is yes. If it's a promise in the Word, you can go to God in prayer and confidently make your petition of Him, right? So the Word of God, we need to make sure that what we're asking is part of the will of God and the Word of God. The prayer of faith. If we think that God will just do whatever He wants, but this is a misconception I had for years, that we think that God's just going to do whatever He wants. I'm just going to step back and He's just going to do whatever He wants. That's not Bible. That's not the Bible. The Bible is we pray and petition God. We pray and we petition God. See, to handle the attacks of the enemy in this fallen world, we need to pray. To push back against the darkness that's in this world, we don't just sit back and, no, we pray. We push forward the kingdom of God through prayer first. To handle the attacks of the enemy, we need to pray. Remember, it's not by might. We talked about this last week. It's not by might, not by my own strength, but it's by God's Spirit, says the Lord. Then He says this. He said, the prayer of the righteous person is powerful in its effect. Righteous. What is righteous? That means I'm always perfect, right? No. But first of all, there's two parts to this. The righteous person. The person that knows who they are in Christ. I've been made righteous in Christ. Amen. because of the blood of Jesus, those who are far away have now been made drawn near by the blood of the Lamb, right? So that we are now not hoping to be righteous, not positionally, we are right before God, like as if, we talked about this so much more before, that we have been made like sin never existed in our life. That kind of right before God. But also, it carries this other part of this word too, the righteous person. The person that has righteous ideas. Righteous, what does that mean? That means that my ideas align up with God's ideas. When I'm righteous, when I live righteously, that means my actions, my thinking, my doing line up with what God wants me to be, right? So here, let me just give you some examples. So is it righteous for you to provide for your family? Is that a righteous thing to provide for your family? If it's not happening, pray. Pray. The prayer of the righteous, the right things, right? The right wants, the right desires, that those things line up to what God wants. The enemy is attacking you in some way with the world, the flesh, or the devil, right? Is attacking you in some way to push back against provision in your home. That is not okay. And you don't just sit back and wait for it to change. You push back in prayer. Pushing back against demonic influence in your thinking. That is righteous. That is righteous prayer, the prayer of the righteous. Believing God for someone who's battling this gender dysphoria. Believing God that God would help them and heal them and make them whole, make them right. Not be mad and angry and no, it's a human. God help them to see clearly the truth. God, let them find their identity in you. We push back against those things. Praying for yourself to be a better spouse. God, help me. Is that righteous? Yeah, and you look over at your spouse and went, yes, yes. Yes and amen to the glory of God. Right? To pray that you will become a better spouse. Pray for your spouse. When you see your spouse is fighting off stuff, prayer. Prayer. Sometimes, let me talk to the men a second. You know what, men? Sometimes they just want you to listen and hear. And then you know what they really want? They want you to pray. You grab your wife by the hands and just pray. And just pray God's power, pray God's anointing, pray God's freedom. Devil, this is not okay that you're attacking my wife this way. In Jesus' name, I break your lies over her in Jesus' name. Fill her, God, with the love of God. Pray for your spouse. Pray for them. Pray for yourself, right? These kind of ideas, those are prayers of the righteous. And the Bible says that when we pray those kind of prayer, the Bible says that it's powerful in its effect. It's powerful. So you're like, okay, all right, Pastor. These are for those strong Christians. These are for those real, real strong Christians that are just built that way. You know what's interesting about this scripture? In James, he talks about this guy who prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3 years. That's like incredible, isn't it? That's incredible. Like all the farmers would be mad. All the things that we've planted around our house, my wife would be so mad. We'd have a huge water bill is what we would have. That's what we would have. But he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And then he prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. Man, Elijah, that guy is amazing. There's a problem with that thinking. Because James just said that he was a human just like us. Just like you. The expectation is not how great the guy is. The expectation is how great our God is. And what happens when we submit ourselves and press into Him and receive from Him? He said it wouldn't rain. He prayed, God, I prayed it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3 years. It's interesting. I won't go back and read it, but it's interesting when you read the story of this portion of in 2 Kings, it talks about how this all came to pass. Especially, it goes in a little bit more detail about how when he prayed that it would rain, right? It would rain again. It goes in a little bit more detail. And this is really where I want to get to this morning, is this idea that I prayed and nothing happened. Oh yeah. I tried that prayer thing once. Didn't work. So I quit praying. Started worrying to God again. Started asking other people for their prayers, because evidently mine aren't working. I believe in a prayer of agreement. I believe in believing God with Rex. You know why? Because I know Rex is going to believe like I am. That's agreement. That if he prays for me because of my unbelief, that's praying for me. The praying of agreement is when, man, we're locked in, Rex. We're believing God. We're going to believe God for a new building for this church. Amen?
It's going to happen.
You know what? This is agreement. This is not a wishing and a hoping. This is not, if he needs to pray for my faith, he can pray for my faith. But this right here is agreement. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. What's interesting about this scripture and the story of Elijah is when Elijah prayed the first time that it would rain, he sends his servant out onto the mountain and he says, "What do you see?" And the servant said, "Nothing." I mean, if you read the scripture, like Elijah was all into it too, bro. He was like, he said he put his hands between his knees. Like, you've seen those people pray. They're into it. He's praying. He's not wishing. He's praying. He's crying out to the Creator. Go, servant, go see what's going on. He goes, "Man, it's the bluest sky I've ever seen in my life. There's not a rain cloud in the sky. The birds are tweeting. It's beautiful. There's not even a wisp. There's not even cirrus clouds out there. It's nice and blue." He says, "You prayed and we saw nothing." All right, well, let's pray again. Go over there, praise again. All right. I felt a little something that time. I felt a little something. Now, servant, go up there and go look again. Nothing. Six times he prayed. Nothing. Elijah. Prayed and nothing. Elijah, who's later going to go up in a chariot and just go and be with God. He prayed and nothing happened. Prayed again. Nothing happened. Matter of fact, Elijah, I don't know how bluer the sky could have got, but it got bluer. It got worse. But the seventh time, I went up. He said he went up and he saw a torrential downpour. Nope. He said, "I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand." Well, that ain't going to bring rain. But all of a sudden, there's a little bit of hope. Stirs up on the inside of him. Something's happening. Something's moving. Things are changing. And then the rain came. And James calls him a human, a man or a woman like you and me. Like you and me. See, many times we pray and we just give up. Many times we just pray and then we say this, "I just need more faith." Maybe. See, but the thing is about faith is when you pray, faith, like if you pray and it instantly happens,
I don't need faith. I need faith when it doesn't, when I don't see it. I need faith when I'm praying for my kids and I don't see the change. I need faith when I'm believing God for finance coming in and my bank account says zero. I need faith when I go to the doctor and he gives me another bad report on top of the bad report I got before. He prayed seven times. But many times we just quit. You're like, wow, that seems harsh. You're like, that seems like not fair. Like, it should be asked and it's just done. Maybe. I know. Let's go to Jesus. Jesus has the meek and mild answer for us. He got the feel-good answer for us. Hold on to your hat. It's about to get really real. Luke chapter 18. Now he, talking about Jesus, just making sure we're all on the same page. Now he told them a parable. That's a new word. I bet Google can't do that one. He told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up. Let me just put the brakes on there real quick. How many times is Jesus, before he tells a parable, he goes, hey, now this is what this parable is about. Jesus is making a point what this parable is all about. He's saying, this parable I'm about to tell you is what your prayer life may look like. That's what he says. He says, this is a prayer that you should pray always and not give up. Number two, verse two. There was a judge, here goes the parable. There was a judge in a certain town who did not fear God or respect people. And a widow in that town kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or respect people, this woman's driving me nuts. That's my translation. Yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so that she doesn't come and wear me out with her persistent coming. Verse one again. Then he told them a parable on their need for them to pray always and not give up. Verse six, he said, then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay helping them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Faith on the earth. Jesus tells them, sets them all up. Hey, as I'm reading this, you need to know the context of what I'm reading. He makes it really clear that this is the way you pray. That to pray and not give up. And he gives us the most crazy parable of this ungodly dude, judge. That I don't even fully understand all that, Jesus. But the context is simply this. She kept asking. And she kept asking. Justice. 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 God, healing. I'm believing you for my healing. You are not an unjust judge. You're a God who does what he says he will do. God, provision. You promised me provision. You promised that those flowers are looking a lot better dressed than I am. God, provision. But we give up. We stop. Guess it's not working. Guess it's not working. Many fall away from the faith. Many people give up on God. When the scripture says to pray and not give up. I love what Kenneth Hagin used to always say. He said, in this kind of idea, he says, man, you need to keep your switch of faith turned on. Keep that switch of faith turned on. I know I don't see it, God. What I see doesn't match up with your word. Justice, God. Justice, God. Justice. Yeah, freedom. God, I slipped and fell again. God, you said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I get up from my mess. I get up from my mess up. God, I'm free indeed in Jesus' name. That does not, that mess up does not define me. My Bible says when I pray and I ask forgiveness, He's faithful and just to forgive me every single time. Not today. Not today. What's that Lord of the Rings? I don't know, it's an older movie. What's that Lord of the Rings? Where these, I forgot, Aragorns, he does, man, he said, there may be a day where the men of heart, the hearts of men will grow faint, but it won't be this day. That tomorrow may be another day, God, but not today. Not today. Not today. I believe I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. God, I prayed and I don't see anything. I prayed for my family. I don't see anything. Man, there's such a, let me see that. Plato. Are they open? Oh, that's okay. Open one for me. God, this is the worst. Who designed these things? Okay, Rachel. Rachel's got it. That's good. That's good. This Plato, right? You're praying for your, I told you this story last week, how Karen Wheaton would pray for her kids who were wayward. She would take Play-Doh, put it in her hands, and get out on her front porch. And she would pace back and forth and say, God, I thank you that you're molding my kids' hearts. God, your word says you hold the hearts, the hearts of kings in the palm of your hand and you turn it whatever way you will. God, I thank you that you're massaging her stony heart and you're making it soft like this clay. You're making it, God, where she can receive your wisdom. God, I thank you, God. But the crazy thing about, man, crazy Miss Karen Wheaton, she didn't give up. And the story on the other side, if you read her daughter's story about coming back to the Lord, she goes, every time my mom would pray, I get so mad. Wasn't that right? God, I hate it. I hated every word she said. I hated the church. I hated the people. She grew up in church. I hated all their nonsense. But Karen, we just keep praying. She kept praying. She kept praying. And Lindsay's story, her daughter's story, is that she goes, even though I was in the middle of all my mess, I would be in the middle of being messy, if you know what I mean. She goes, my heart would just be tweaked towards God. Well, on the outside, I'm not letting my mom know. Mm-mm. I'm not letting my mom know nothing. But inside, she goes, my heart was a wreck. And it longed for God again. Karen Wheaton talks about the time she came and knocked on her door and said, Mom, I'm ready to come home. She called her husband and said, Husband, I'm ready to come home. But she wasn't moved. What I love about her story is Karen Wheaton wasn't moved by what she saw. She was moved by what she believed. She was moved by her faith. She said to pray, not give up. Pray and not give up. Even though it seems like nothing's happening, pray and don't give up. Let's all stand together. Some of you may say, you know, I need breakthrough in this circumstance. Keep praying. Keep praying. You're like, it just doesn't seem like it should work that. Okay, whatever. I mean, keep doing it your way. That's fine, I guess. God says pray. Pray and not give up. Pray and not give up. I don't see the changes. Pray, not give up. How about this? God, I've asked for your baptism of your spirit into my life. Just pray. Don't give up. God, I want all of you, more of you, God, in my life. Keep knocking. Do radical things. Can you imagine people standing around? People that, I mean, like I love what Brian Jardine used to say. He goes, man, we already believe some pretty crazy things already. We believe that a virgin became pregnant. We believe that Jesus rose some other guy from the dead. And then, well, Jesus just rises from the dead. We believe that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and did signs and wonders throughout the whole book of Acts. Just step your crazy in just a little bit more. I'm going to believe God. I'd rather believe God and have joy than worry and be defeated. Because faith will bring you joy. Faith will make you happy. Actually, faith, watch this. Many times, this is from the Lord just now. It'll help you take your hands off of you trying to fix it, which many times we mess it up by trying to fix it. Say, God, you got it. Actually, next week we're going to talk about conversational prayer. And maybe God will show you your part to what to do. And maybe it's not as easy, not as profound or not as aggressive as you think it should be. You know what's aggressive? The Holy Spirit. His power. I've come for justice, God. I've come for justice. You're not the unjust judge. Thank you, God. You live in a world. Always remember this. You live in a world opposed. In this life, you will live your life opposed by the enemy. By the stuff of the world, by powers, by principalities, by demonic forces. You live in this world opposed. Pray. Pray God's kingdom comes. The way God does life, pray that that comes here on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that the justice of God comes here on earth as it is in heaven. God, we look to you. Come on, right where you're at. Some of you just like this. You know what I love about God? He is the God of the second, third, fourth, 100 chances. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God's a little persistent with you? Yeah. He just stands at the door and knocks. If you open, my knuckles don't get bloody. I'll just keep knocking. Aren't you glad that you can just say, God, I haven't been persistent about these things. I've backed off. I've taken the switch of faith and turned it to the doubt position. God is able and willing for you. You're like, that's scary. Yep. So is walking on water. So is starting a church. Amen, Max. This is a step of faith. So is moving halfway, not halfway across the country, all the way across the country. God, we thank you. And all it takes is a little, just a turn of your heart. God, I haven't been persistent. So whatever that thing is that you've been believing God for. I want you to, even in your mind's eye, God gives us an imagination, right? Grab like that light switch and flip it back on. Even in your mind by faith. God, I thank you that you are powerful. And just because I don't see you moving doesn't mean you're not moving. God, just because I don't see anything working doesn't mean you're working. God, help us. And if there's a place I need to be obedient in, God, I pray, make it clear to me. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. But God, I give all these things into your hands. You know what this is, guys? This is casting all of your care onto him because he cares for you. So God, we love you. God, we thank you for your anointing. God, we thank you, Father, that you're working.